Today is November 11th. This is the last class of our fall series on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So some of us have been doing this for a whole year. Some of us have. So I thought I would review, just kind of go over very briefly, just some of the practices and information that we've gotten in these 8 weeks, bringing in a little bit from the spring, but certainly not everything. So this fall we were working on the two sections, number 3 and 4 in the sutra, which is practicing mindfulness mindfulness of the mind and of objects of mind. And again, we brought in those same qualities to practice the sutra that we did in the spring, and those qualities are curiosity, alertness or ardency, openness, and a suspension of judgment. And the sutra really talks about how we need to do this. This is the way that we study the sutra, kind of as a scientist, as a witness, as an observer and an investigator. We practice recognizing our feelings as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, and just looking at the world in that way is quite a revelation to me, just to be aware. Again, it just brings mindfulness into our reactive nature, rather than getting sucked up into something pleasant or sucked away from into the aversion of something unpleasant. We just notice. And we were practicing observing all phenomenon as inside us, outside of us, and both. That's the heart of non-self. You know, where are our boundaries? Can we really believe and trust in that separation of ourselves from others? We observed all phenomena as arising, sustaining, and dissolving or fading away. And in that way, we observed the truth of impermanence. And it's really good to go out and test these theories. You know, can you find anything that is permanent? You may be the first. We investigated the 5 aggregates, you know, which is the 5 elements of ourselves, our sense of I. And they show us where we cling to the notion of a separate self. So then we learn to disengage from identifying with those aggregates, those heaps of phenomenon, our perceptions, our body, our feelings, our thoughts, our stories. And we also got practice getting to know what they call the defilements in ourselves as they arise, the basic ones being grasping, aversion, turning away, and delusion or confusion. And we also practice getting to know their absence so that we became familiar and comfortable and were able to acknowledge when we were in a place of non-grasping, of clarity, of non-confusion, of non-irritation, when we were happy with the way things are. And that's a very important practice to cultivate. We also practice with the love interventions, which I really love that idea that we can always infuse our notion of ourselves with the love that is already our true nature, our true goodness. And so we practice metta, loving kindness meditation, and learn that we always start with ourselves first. That this is essential, that we begin with ourselves before moving out, outward. We practice with the Brahma Viharas, the 4 immeasurable minds of love. Now, we have a formula here for how to grow our hearts to infinite size, to include everything. in the world just by cultivating these four aspects of love: loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And we spent some time identifying our fetters, our internal formations, our knots that have formed, you know, our wounds that we talked about when we talked about the life review, how they're created by our misperceptions, and how to spend our time untangling and releasing ourselves from them. You know, when you think about a ball of yarn that's all tangled up, you know, and it's like, well, how do you approach untangling that ball of yarn? First of all, you have to be really gentle. And you have to give it even more space. You know, if you try to pull it tight, it's just going to make it worse. So you have to, and you have to be really patient, and you just have to kind of look at it to see where an end might be, and you don't really know, but you have to be kind of open. That really, to me, is a metaphor for a lot of what this sutra is teaching us, to just be open and look and be gentle, put space and be patient, you know, and careful attention. You have to look really carefully, or you can make it an even bigger mess. We learned that everything in our world, including ourselves, is really a creation of our six sense organs, our mind being an organ. And we read the sutra on the all, in which the Buddha just sort of went down to the core of things and said, this is it, folks. You know, everything in your world is a six-piece chamber orchestra, you know. So, and then we learned about interdependent co-arising, you know. And the Buddha said, this is because that is. This isn't because that isn't. And sort of narrowed it down to three aspects, which is the impulse of something, the desire, and then the clinging. And how, as our perceptions and our attention get subtler and subtler, we can stop these things, this sort of train from going, this sort of habitual pattern from continuing on. We might not be able to stop it at impulse, but maybe we can stop it at desire when we recognize, we bring our mindfulness and say, oh, I recognize I'm really desiring this. And we don't have to cling to it. No. Or perhaps we've gotten to clinging and then we go, oh, this is how clinging feels. And let's bring some mindfulness to this so that we don't habituate that pattern or believe in it so much. We practice meditating on the contents of our minds and then on the space around our thoughts. So the contents and then the space. So we can go back and forth, and again, that helps us grow our understanding of who we are. And we also reminded ourselves that concentration is perfect. Well, let's see, what was my favorite quote? Perfect concentration is effortless flowing, from a Tai Chi master. So it's relaxation. And when we're not concentrated, what we need to do is relax more, get more into our bodies, ground ourselves more. That brings freedom and ease. And it also brings us the reminder that things are already perfect the way they are. Again, it's that self-improvement project, that wanting to change things, that sort of under... And I think that comes maybe just from dukkha, you know. Dukkha is like this pervasive feeling of unsatisfactoriness. So, of course, you know, we get a little bit of energy, a little bit of inspiration, and it's like, well, let's go sweep out that closet, you know, let's go clean things up here, you know. And it's like, we have to be really aware and careful of that we're not trying to fix the world, because that's really not going to work. We're not big enough to do that, and we're going to just get burned out. So we treat it with more kindness and more gentleness and more love, you know. We and to me, I use don't know mind a lot there when I start thinking I can fix something or I know what to do or I know. And if everyone would just follow my directions, you know. And I was like, wait a minute, you don't really know what's going on here. So we practice in the way whatever is, in whatever way is appropriate for our minds and bodies in the moment and for the circumstances. Sometimes lying in the bed and just breathing in and out is the most healing, transformative practice you can do. And sometimes you're ready to just sit without moving for hour after hour, you know, and it's not that one is better than the other. It's that you meet life with kindness and alertness and diligence and friendliness and inspiration, wherever it is. You know, you can't tell, you know, a parent of four little children that they won't get anywhere if they don't sit for 2 hours a day. You know, I mean, what good would that be? It doesn't fit with our life, the way our lives are. And then we practice cultivating the seven factors of awakening that we remember the Buddha told us was the most direct and sure path to waking up. Mindfulness, which is always our sort of our foundation, our ground. Investigation, which we've really been doing in this sutra. Energy, ease, concentration, and equanimity. And we look at our perceptions and our stories, you know, with this life review process or any way that we might want to do it. And this is when we have the stability, the readiness, and the inspiration to do it. We use our insight to bring up our memories, and we just shine the light of awareness on them. And just by shining that light, you know, like the sun shines its light, where it releases stuck energy, might show us new ways of seeing a situation in our past, and we are freed up that energy so that we're able to be more fully in this moment. So let's do a guided meditation. So become anchored in your body through following your breath. And turn your attention to the tactile field. Where you're feeling something, touching the chair, the floor. Maybe your hands are touching. And just feel whatever is there for you with as little conceptual overlay as you can. See if you can stay with the sensation, with the place before naming. And then turn your attention to sound and any auditory phenomena. In the heard, let there just be the heard without naming or categorizing. And now open your eyes to just a soft focus and attend to the visual field. Look at what's just in front of you with as little conceptual overlay as possible. Let the scene just be the scene without naming. And then direct your attention to the field of your mind and the events happening in it. Bring yourself fully to whatever is happening without judgment or categorizing. These four spheres dominate our world. Among these fields, search for yourself, a specific person with a body, mind, memories, hopes, fears, sensations, and emotions. Is there any evidence that the person called by your name is present within this matrix of appearances? Or are you something conceptually projected upon appearances? Search carefully for any entity within yourself that is the referent of your name. And now bring to mind someone you know well. Search in the same way for the entity of that person referred to by their name. Can you find any external entity that corresponds to their name? And now do the same thing with your body. Can you find any one referent in your body that constitutes yourself? Or are these physical sensations simply phenomena of solidity, fluidity, heat, and motion emerging within the tactile field? In the seen, there is just the seen. In the heard, just the heard. In the felt, just the felt. In the cognized, just the cognized. Rest in the awareness that we are all empty of a separate existence. T- take heart in the knowing that we are all one manifestation of life's energy, appearing and disappearing, never going anywhere.